I was in the midst of a debate with myself all day today. I have a list of what I plan to preach. I think the Lord, I'm trying to let the Lord win. And I said, Lord, if you do this, then I'm certainly going to preach this other message. But I have on my list that I'm going to preach this one message. And I've been struggling with it and struggling with it. And I said, okay, Lord, if a certain song is sung tonight, then I'll preach that message. And because at the end of this message, it kind of fits in very well with this particular song. And then I got here and I thought, well, it's not even in the hymnal. And it is in the hymnal, but I thought, you know what? God can do anything. And we didn't sing that song. But every song that we've sung has to do with the other message that I have debated and whether the Lord wants me to speak tonight. And actually, the first song that we sung is like, sometimes I talk about that before I start the message because it does have something to do with it. And so I've decided, okay, Lord, you didn't do the one thing, but I just can't pull my brain away from it. And I don't feel comfortable with the other message, and I don't want to do something that I don't feel comfortable with, because then, I don't know if you've ever preached a message where you didn't feel comfortable with, but sometimes it's just, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's very uncomfortable. It really is. Sometimes it goes way better than you thought, but other times it just feels like you're dragging something down the road you shouldn't be dragging down the road, and everybody's watching you do it. And so, you know, they're giving you pleasant looks like this poor guy, but, you know, or your wife says, oh, that was fine. And like, thanks, Mom, you know. Everything I do is great in your eyes. But so we're going to go to, don't whisper to your wife and then laugh. It makes me feel self-conscious, all right? So turn to Job 23. Job 23. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 9 says that we have an anchor, steadfast and sure. And so we sing that song, and at times in life, it feels like the world is spinning. I remember when I first started in evangelism, ambassador called me and said, would you travel for us and go to Christian schools and churches and represent the college? And you can use our name to get in anywhere you want to as far as these places are concerned. And so that was great. It's a great way to get started. I'm not sure it helped me that much, to be honest with you, as far as exposure, because it didn't seem like I've had any kickback on those things. But this is one church that I did come to and one Christian school that I did come to during that time frame. But I did not take my family with me because I would be in a Christian school every day for up to 2 weeks. And so because of that, they weren't always close together. In fact, I remember these up here in the Northeast. I did use this area as a hub, but sometimes you're driving several hours to go preach in a Christian school, maybe up in New Hampshire or something, and then come back. And often I was, you know, going from place to place to place. And many times I would preach in a Christian school not knowing where I was going to stay the night that night, and, you know, asking the Christian school administrator if there was a prophet's chamber or whatever. And if I had to, I'd stay in a hotel. But because of that, you really can't take a family into those situations and bouncing around. And at that time, we had three very young kids. And I just remember thinking, I felt like the world was spinning. I like a lot of change like that, but the only thing that was the same was my vehicle, and I decided to take my pillow because it was like, that's another thing that could be the same. But literally, everything was different every single day. Where I was staying was different. The people were different. Everything was different. And it literally felt like the world was spinning and constant changing. And I just felt like, man, I need to grab a hold of something because, man, it just feels like things are out of control, even though that wasn't the case. And I could see how, you know, some of these professional athletes or businessmen that travel a lot can get into a lot of things because they're looking for something in their life to maybe provide some feeling of stability. And I thought of this verse that we have an anchor steadfast and sure. And I thought, you know, no matter if all the people in my life are changing and the locations are changing, my relationship with the Lord can be one thing that stays the same. A car is not good enough. A pillow is not good enough. I need something. I shouldn't be talking to my pillow or my car as I'm going down the road. That's not stability. But I can talk to the Lord. And when I got home, I had some insurance things to deal with. And so there was a lady in our church that she was our insurance agent. So I went in and talked to her, and I was just mentioning this to her. And she kind of sat back and she said, you know, we're going through some things in my life. And she said, that's a real help to me, that we can have an anchor in the Lord that keeps us sure. And so we sing that song for that reason. But there's a lot of difficulties that happen in life. And I talked about this last night, which is one of the reasons I hesitated today. But Job chapter 23 is my favorite chapter in Job, because it seems like this is where Job is saying, this is where I'm getting my strength as I go through this terrible tragedy that I've gone through, to lose everything that I've had in my life, with the exception of my own life and my wife. But his health is gone, his children are dead, all his wealth is gone, and he doesn't know why. And three of his friends were telling him, something is wrong with you, Job. You're in sin. This is the problem, because bad things happen to bad people. And Job is saying, no, that's not true. I haven't done wrong, but I know that God is involved here. And so let's start in verse 1 of chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. We can get the wrong idea here that Job is upset with God, and that he's kind of saying, well, I would give God a piece of my mind if I could see him. And that's not the meaning of complaint and groaning bitter. He's just saying, I'm in a hard time, and I'm struggling here. And if I could find God, I would ask him questions. And so he continues, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. I could finally understand what is going on. And that's what he's saying. I would be talking to the Lord saying, help me understand why this is happening. And he says, I know that God would answer me. Will he plead, verse 6, against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he, that's God, is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. So Job, I think, is describing how he is finding strength through his difficult time. And sometimes we're like that. How can I find strength? How can I get through this? The first thing I see is in verse number 11. He says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Job is finding strength in his feet, I enjoy sports, and I did a lot of sports growing up. I played baseball from as early as I can remember, soccer from just about as early as I can remember. I really didn't play basketball until junior high, but I loved sports. My grandpa even taught me golf when I was very young. He worked at a golf course, and so he cut down golf clubs that would fit my size and taught me how to swing and all those things. But in every sport that I've ever learned, there's one thing that is consistent, and that is footwork. Footwork. I remember in baseball, my coach wanted to have me pitch. We had these every other games, and these every other games really didn't matter. And so they would try different people at different positions, and I think it was just training. And so he was going to allow me to pitch in this game. And so he was going through some things and talking about where you put your feet and how you point your feet. You just can't, it's not just about your arm. That the direction you point your feet is the direction that you're more likely to throw the ball. And I remember in soccer, the same thing. You'd plant a foot before you kick, and you want to point that planted foot in the direction that you want to kick. And I know in basketball, even the professionals will talk about your footwork. I listened a long time ago. I watched this show that was Hall of Famers talking about different subjects, and one of them, and at that time he was the number one three-point shooter as a retired person. And he said, I never had to look at the three-point line when I was in the NBA. I always knew where it was. He said, because when I was in college, I was taught proper footwork so that you always knew where you were and you never had to look down and take that half a second to look down. And so it cut that half a second of time off so I could get my shot up before the defender got there. And another thing, a lot of these guys said, the difference between Michael Jordan and many other athletes and many other basketball players was that his feet were always in the right place. Footwork is, the older I get in playing basketball, the more I learn, it's really not about speed and it's not about how high you can jump, it's about position. It's about being in the right place at the right time. And in golf, I remember watching a professional golfer who was very good at what he did, and they said, watch as he swings the club on this shot. It was an iron shot, an approach shot, and the commentator said, watch, he has quiet feet. His feet don't move until the ball is struck. And I thought, man, all these sports, even in golf, how important footwork is. Can I say, in your Christian life, your footwork is important? Job says here, my foot hath held his steps. It's not my steps, it's God's steps. And that word held, the words that he uses here, it means to guard, to watch. I have watched where I'm walking. Your feet tell you a lot about who you are. Your feet tell you where you are. You're not somewhere where your feet aren't, right? Your feet are in church tonight. That's a good place for them. Your feet should be in church on Sunday. Your feet should be in the right place. We sing the song, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. It's not just the little feet that matter. It's the big feet too, right? We need to make sure our feet are in the right places and our feet tell us what direction we're going. It's really difficult to walk in a direction that your feet aren't pointed. It'll probably end up in trouble. And Job is saying the same thing. I'm going to maintain the direction that I've always maintained. I'm going to keep doing the things that I know that God wants me to do. And in this time of temptation to quit, to leave, to escape, I'm going to make sure my feet are still doing the same things that they should have been doing. Because we find that as a pattern. Even though we have believed God's word and we've trusted God's word and we've followed God's word, when difficult times come, sometimes we're tempted to quit on what we've always believed. And we're tempted to do things that we've never believed. You know, it's like, oh, maybe things aren't right, or we're just not thinking straight, and we're tempted to take our feet to places and do things and head directions that we've never done before because times are difficult, when really, in reality, we need to plant them even further where God wants them to be. It says, my foot hath held his steps. God has a lot to say about our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Some people say about the next part, it says, and he delighteth in his way. Well, who delights in his way? Well, in my opinion, it's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious that God would delight in the way that he gives to you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be giving it to you. So I don't think it's stating the obvious. I think he's saying, and he, the person who follows in the way that God has directed his steps, he delighteth in that way. I've never known a person to follow God's will in their life and be disappointed in it and be unpleased with what God has for them. You will enjoy it. You know, sometimes we're afraid. Well, if I am this, there was a girl today, she asked me about missionaries. She said, does God send missionaries to dangerous places? And I thought, well, I've been to a few dangerous places as an evangelist and as doing missions work. In fact, recently, when we went to Colombia, I didn't seek this out. It came our way to go to a town that they said, you can't go to this town unless somebody from that town takes you because it's the second most guerrilla activity, and that doesn't mean, monkey guerrilla type things. Little kids think that. I was telling this story, and my kids said, yeah, the kids next to them said, gorillas have guns and they can shoot guns? That would be a pretty scary thought. No, the communist guerrillas, they're still very active there. And in that town, in fact, a year ago, 9 young men were killed at a schoolyard. And sometimes it's just trying to show their ability and their power. And it's also the number one producer of cocaine in all of Colombia. And so some guys wanted to go, and because they wanted to hand out tracts, and they said, do you want to go? And I was like, sure, I'll go. And some of the people were like, you shouldn't go, you're American, and you know that means hostage possibilities, but we were okay. We were with people that were there. And she asked me that. She said, is it dangerous? Does God send you to dangerous places? And I said, if God sends you to a dangerous place, it'll be a place that you want to go. And you'll know that He wants you to go, and you'll have a desire to go, and God will give you a sense of peace about that, a sense of safety. I've been to a few of those places, and every time it's been a place that I've wanted to go. Was there a little bit of fear? Sure, there's always a little bit, but sometimes that's just our own conscience and our own hearts trying to get us not to do something. But I've always been glad that I've done it. And when we were there, we had a little service. We didn't know. We were passing out tracts, and the missionary said to me, so-and-so who brought us there, he organized us to have a little service in somebody's house. And I said, okay. And so there were several of us that were there that were preachers, and some spoke better Spanish than others. And so one of the guys spoke at this place, and the lady that owned the house where we stayed, and then the aunt of the guy who organized all of that, both of those ladies were the only ones that showed up, but it was really like we passed out tracts and we went to their house, boom. But both of those ladies trusted Christ as their Savior. And so you see those things, and you see, you know what, God rewards that. But sometimes we need to make sure that our steps are following exactly where God wants. And every time we will delight in that way. It says, His way have I kept and not declined. God has a way for our lives. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct thy paths. One of the things about that verse is it shows us that don't lean to your own understanding. Why? Because in every occasion, your own understanding has a tendency to be wrong. It can't be trusted. And so, in fact, I wish I'd seen this verse a long time ago. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But that is the opposite of the way that this world teaches you. Follow your heart. That's what the world says. If you want to do it, just go out and do it. You don't let anybody stop you doing the thing that you want to do. That's dangerous. Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of things Job wanted to do. And I think that's why his wife said, Job, just curse God and die. This is the easy way of suicide, Job. You can get out of all of it. And maybe he felt like he wanted to, but he said, I'm not going to do that. That's not what God wants me to do. But he says, His way have I kept. It means to grasp and take possession. I like that because it's as if Job is saying, look, this is God's way, but I'm making it mine. I'm holding on to it with everything that I have. It is my way now. It's not just God's way, and it's a path that I am not going to stop following. His way have I kept and not declined. I've not turned aside. I'm going to point my face in the direction that I've always headed, and just because time is difficult right now, just because life has shattered and my dreams are gone, I'm still going to head in the same direction. And in fact, it feels like Job is doubling down. And that's a good thing to do. Because although he didn't know it at the time, Satan was throwing everything at him to try to get him to quit and to go another direction. And maybe that's what's happening in your life as well. And maybe it's not something that everybody else can see. Maybe it's something that only you can see and only you know about. But don't change the way that God has given to you. Don't take your feet and point them in a different direction. Keep them where they ought to be. So he found strength in his feet. And then verse 12, he says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He found strength in his food. I like food. I do. Don't you? Yep, I know you do. We all like food. I like certain foods better than others. I like American food. You know, I have noticed there are no, well, I don't think there are. I've never seen them. Colombian food restaurants. There's Mexican food restaurants and Italian food restaurants. And I think I can tell you why, because their food wasn't that great. Is there Peruvian? Oh, there is. I know of one. But I ate a guinea pig while I was there. And so was Levi. Levi ate a guinea pig too, but he wasn't in. Not something I really would write home about, other than, hey, this is what I did. But we don't sell them here for good reasons. They're not that great. I had a guy in college. I remember he was a dorm mate of mine. You know him. And he went home, or he went to his girlfriend's house for spring break. And when he came back, I looked at him and I said, did you gain weight over spring break? And he said, why? Does it look like it? And I said, yeah, it does. And he said, man, my girlfriend's mom can cook. He said, I gained 10 pounds over spring break. It's like a week, okay? And so when he got married, he's lost a lot of the weight, but when he got married, he said, we were eating like a gallon of ice cream a week. And so he ballooned up. You got to learn that. But I remember he would get sick, and it was my job to make sure they had food when they were sick. And so I would ask him, you know, do you want food or not? Because some people, when they're sick, they just don't want food. But he had that phrase, starve a fever, feed a cold. That was a philosophy for him. And he would flip it. And he would also say, starve a cold, feed a fever. So if he had a fever, he would feed it. And if he had a cold, he would feed it. And he was like, it's just the way I get over it. And I don't know if it worked. But that's what he did. He was finding strength in his food. And obviously, Job isn't saying, I'm literally eating food to get myself through this. Not a good plan. He's saying, the words of God's mouth, he's esteeming more important than his necessary food. You know, what a picture. I don't go throughout a day and not think about food. I do. In fact, it's the first thing I think about when I wake up. I'm not a morning person. I have purposed to say good morning with a smiley face when I'm on the road. Because I was at a camp this summer, and so the kitchen workers were like, every time I see you in the morning, you look like you're mad or something. And I'm like, I'm not mad. I need food or coffee or something. I'm not upset. But I don't even feel like words can come out. You know, that's just the way I feel in the morning. I am jealous of morning people. I just be thankful God gave you that gift. He did not give that gift to me. And so ever since then, I'm like, okay, I'm going to fake it until I make it. I'm going to act like I'm, good morning. And so your wife said good morning this morning, and I was like, good morning. Where's the coffee? And I get out of there as quick as I can. But Job is saying, look, I'd rather miss a meal than I would miss the word of God. And I don't understand that because he didn't have a printed text. But there was something that he had. Well, maybe he did have a printed text and it wasn't preserved for us. I don't know. But he said, I have esteemed it more important than my necessary food. And I'll miss a day of food before I'll miss the word of God. Is it that important to you and me? Because he is in a deep trial of his life, and deeper than maybe any of us could compare to, and I think that's intentional. I think God put him through something that great and showed it to us so that we can look at that and say, I'll never go anything through that difficult, but if Job can get through it, then I can too. And Job is saying, the word of God was my key, that I found strength in his word. You will find over and over again that you will find strength in the word of God. When I was in youth ministry, there was something very discouraging going on. I don't even remember what it was. But I remember, I am more of a night owl, and everybody was in bed, and I don't know, my brain is quieter, everything is quieter at that time of the night, and so every light in the house was off, except for the lamp that was next to me on the couch. And I said, Lord, I need something. And so I said, I'm not going to go to my devotional point. I'm just going to open the Bible. I'm just going to let it fall open, trusting that you will guide me to the right place. And I actually thought, you know, Psalms in the middle, and it's a big book, so it's probably going to go to Psalms, and I'll get something encouraging, right? And so my Bible fell open, and it wasn't Psalms, it was Luke. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, I can find something here. And so I'm reading, and it's the passage where Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross. And I was like, it's not what I was looking for. I just felt like, this is pretty rough. But, you know, God knows what we need, not what we think we need. And it did seem like the Lord said, look, if you're going to be in ministry, you're going to have difficult times. And if you don't want that, you can get out. And it almost felt like the Lord said, I'm not going to be mad at you, but if you're going to do ministry, then you're going to have to take up your cross. It's going to be uncomfortable. And I was like, okay. I'm not quitting. It's what I needed. You know, I kind of wanted God to coddle me, and because I was feeling sorry for myself. But God gave me what I needed. And you'll find strength in His Word, but you just got to go there. You got to look for it. You got to stay in it. And you got to say, Lord, show me. I'm a child. I don't know. I need You to show me. And that's what God does. He found strength in His food. The commandments. This is what Jesus said when He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Food is essential, but even more so is the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I used to think too literally about that, quick and powerful and sword. And so I thought of a person that had a sword in his hand, and he was fast, and he was strong with it. And then I learned that that's not what those words mean at all. In fact, the word quick is the same word that's used in Ephesians 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead. Made alive is the actual meaning. And so the Word of God is quick. It's life. It's life. To a believer, it's life. To the unbeliever, it can give them life. The Word of God, the incorruptible seed, that is from which we are born again. And so it is life to you. And when you feel dead spiritually, you need the Word of God. It'll bring you that life. It's quick. It's life and powerful. But there's a lot of words in the original language that can be translated powerful. And one is the word authority. Well, that's not this word. It is authoritative, but that's not this word. It's not the other word that we would normally think, and that has to do with, some people say dynamite because it's dunamos, but that is the word of ability. So the Word of God is quick and able. No, that's not the word. It's the word that's translated into English letter for letter, energy. Energy. For the believer, the Word of God is our energy. You know what I found? People that serve God hunger more for the Word of God. And people that aren't serving God don't have a great hunger for the Word of God because they don't need it. Or at least they don't feel like they need it. And maybe you can ask yourself that question. Is my hunger for the Word of God equal to my service? Because it probably is. So Job is saying, I needed the Word of God. So he found strength in his food. And then verse 13, he's talking about God. He says, He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? He's single-minded. He's focused. You can't change Him. And what His soul desires, desireth, even that He doeth. He's doing what He wants to do. You're not going to change His mind. So he says, God has something for me that He's doing in my life and is not going to be changed. He's single-minded about it. For verse 14, for He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He planned this for me, and many such things are with Him. God has a big plan for me, and I don't know what all those things are, but He is going to make sure that happen. And then he says in verse 13, therefore I am troubled at His presence. I have no idea what God has in store for me, and it might be tough. In fact, I love the last verse. I struggled over this verse for a long time. He says, because I was not cut off from the darkness, neither hath He covered the darkness from my face. I'm like, what does this mean? You know, God makes my heart soft because of this. You know, sometimes God shows us the darkness. And those difficult times that we go in, that's the darkness. And when we see that, we say, I need something bigger than me. This is His faith. Job found strength in his faith. He says, look, I know God has something for me. God has not abandoned me. You know, I want it to be sunshine and birds chirping and warm days and flowers and just good times. But God has shown me the darkness. And because of that, I know I need Him. And I'm trusting Him that He is going to perform the thing that is appointed for me. I think it's Hudson Taylor that said that faith, and he used this analogy, faith is your grip on God. Your grip on God. And I like that. It's not perfect. It's not it's not like a dictionary definition. But what an idea. What does it take for you to let go of God? I also think of the shield of faith. It's really not about the size of the shield, right? I mean, you'd think, well, a shield that's 10 foot tall by 10 foot wide, it would block a lot of arrows, but you wouldn't be able to move it. You wouldn't be able to hold it up very long either. So you want something that's mobile. And really what matters is how long can you hold that shield? How long could you hold on to God? And so Job is saying, I'm not going to let go. My faith is strong because I know that God has a plan here. I'm trusting Him in who He is. And He makes my heart soft. And I know He's got things appointed for me. But I'm not going to let go of who He is. He has plans for us. I love Psalm 139 where The psalmist said, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." He's talking about the precious thoughts of God being more than numbered than the sand. That's only possible with God, that he could have that infinite amount. I thought, man, sand. I grew up in the Midwest, and we had some sand, but I did not know. I could not comprehend the sand of the deserts. I could not comprehend the sand of all the beaches on the planet. I could not comprehend that there was sand. Like, Michigan is mostly sand, I think. I've been to South Carolina, in the middle of South Carolina, and it's like sand everywhere. And I think, man, there's sand all over the world. You wouldn't take a handful of sand anywhere and say, "I'm going to count every grain of the sand." If you do, it won't take you very long before you give up. And he's saying the precious thoughts of God are greater in number than sand. God cares about me. And he says, I'm going to trust God. That's his faith. And then lastly, notice verse 10. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, he had just said in verses 8 and 9, I'm going forward and backward and the left and the right. I'm looking for God in this. And sometimes we're in a situation in our lives where we say, "Lord, I don't see how you're in this." And Lord, I'm also praying, and I just feel like maybe you're not even hearing my prayers, or Lord, it seems like I just can't hear you, and I can't see you, and I don't sense you in this situation. I don't know what to do. That's where Job is. Job's saying, "I don't know, but I'm looking." But he says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I know where God is, because he knows where I am. He knows the way that I take. He knows exactly where I am. And when he is done, because what he is doing is trying me. He's proving me. When he is done, I shall come forth as gold. Gold melts at 1900 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty hot. I don't know how you get a fire that hot. I'm not that smart. But the old school way of smelting gold and purifying it, they would melt it to that 1900 degrees, and we know that they would skim the impurities off of it. But the way that the old guys did it, they knew they were done refining the gold when they could look in the gold and see their reflection. And I thought, man, God knew that. God knew that when he wrote this. And he said, what a perfect picture, because I'm going to put you through some difficult times. I'm going to turn the heat up. And impurities are going to come to the surface because I want to take them out. I want to try you and I want to make you better. And you're not done until I can see my reflection in your face. You're not done until more of me is coming out of you. And isn't that what we want as believers? Lord, less of me and more of you. I must decrease so that he can increase. That's the only way that it's going to happen. That I have to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of my mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To be like him, I have to go through a period of change. I listened to I read an article about a guy, I don't know his name, I don't remember his name, but apparently he was in his lower 30s and he was a self-made billionaire, which is just incredible. But he was feeling stale in his life, 32, right? Feeling stale, feeling like something needed to change. It's like, I'm just not the creative person I was. I just need something different. And so he had an idea. He said, "I've got this money and I need a change in my life." And so he said, "I'm going to hire an ex-special forces, a Navy SEAL. I'm going to hire him and I'm going to have him help me reinvent myself. I need something different." So the guy said, "Sure, I'll do that." And so he comes to his house and he says, "Okay, tonight you're going to sleep in this wooden chair." And he's like, what do you mean? How am I going to sleep in that? It's not going to be comfortable at all. He said, "That's the point. Is that people who are comfortable don't change." Boy, I've thought of that many, many times. Even when I'm at home, sitting in my favorite chair, eating my favorite food, drinking my favorite drink, watching football, I'm there, and I don't move until I'm uncomfortable. And at the point that I'm uncomfortable, whether it's an adjustment of position, or I want more to drink, or whatever the case is, I'm going to do something. But we don't put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. And so sometimes God does. And he puts us in an uncomfortable situation, And our first reaction should not be, I need to run away and do something different. I need to escape this, which is the tendency. It's just to get away from it. And Job says, no, I'm not going to get away from it. I'm going to keep my feet exactly where they were. I'm going to keep my life in the Word of God. I'm going to keep my faith and my focus on God because He's got something planned for him, and I trust Him for my future. That I am going to be something better than I was, that God has a plan, and He will accomplish that plan. I don't know if you're struggling, if you're looking for some anchor in your life, but the only anchor that is worth anything is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can grip onto that anchor through our faith in the Word of God. And maybe you're struggling with something. Can I say, turn to Christ? Turn to Christ. If you've been hanging on to Christ, keep a hold of Him. Don't let go. Let your grip on God be reaffirmed tonight. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe as you're here tonight, there's something.